Later this evening, the Métis National Council Gala will take place at the National Arts Centre, and this year they are celebrating their 40th anniversary. Council's been in existence almost as long as Métis rights have been enshrined in the Constitution. That happened in 1982. But the struggle for recognition is more than two. Later this evening, the Métis National Council Gala will take place at the National Arts Centre, and this year they are celebrating their 40th anniversary. Council's been in existence almost as long as Métis rights have been enshrined in the Constitution. That happened in 1982. But the struggle for recognition is more than 200 years old. The recent book, The True Canadians, Forgotten Nevermore, chronicles that path for recognition, as well as the road to reconciliation with the Canadian government and the general public. Ottawa author David Wolinko co-authored the book with Patricia Russell. He's with me in studio. We're also joined in studio by Mr. Page 109 of the book, composer and fiddler Alex Gusterock, who not only helped compose and perform the epic Métis opera Le Coeur, which just ended its run last month at the Manitoba Opera, he is also shown in the book fiddling for the Pope. Both Alex and David will be at the NEC tonight. They're with me now in studio. Hello there.
Hello.
I'll ask each of you, but I'll start with you, Alex. When you look at that picture of you fiddling with the Pope, the caption that David Ritten said he hopes the music he played will contribute to the Pope's commitment to Indigenous reconciliation. How important is that moment?
Yes, and, you know, there was a lot of people say that Alex played for the Pope. And that was kind of the text and the phrase that was used is playing for the Pope, as if it was a concert for the Pope. Mm. But when Angie Creer brought a fiddle player there, they were sharing their experiences with residential school. And the purpose of the fiddle being there is to just show Pope Francis that the fiddle is something that the residential school didn't take from the Métis people, right? Yeah. So just to be a part of something like that and to support these elders that were so brave in sharing their stories, I was there for them.
It's, I mean, David, you're the one who wrote him fiddling for the Pope in there, so I'm just letting you know. But I'll let you two take it up later.
Too literal. But Alex is more insightful, clearly, in his interpretation.
But as a moment to include, what does that moment mean for you?
Well,
because I mean, obviously, the book breaks down the journey the Métis have taken to achieve, and
yes,
not only recognition, but the path to self-government. Just using that as an example, what does it say?
Well, what's really interesting is Alex mentioned Angie. Angie Creer is a very, very respected Métis elder from Alberta. And she went there as well. She was also received by the Pope. And there's a photo in the book of her shaking hands with the Pope. And she experienced the residential school as a child. And the fact that she was able to meet the Pope, they were both 85 years old at that time, and for them to have that exchange. She came away from that saying later that that was a moment that would introduce the experience of healing. And that's what reconciliation is really about. And the Truth and Reconciliation Commission wanted the Métis to be able to meet with the Pope, as well as First Nations and Inuit representatives. And the fact the Pope came to Canada later, a year later, was monumental as a step forward.
It's a great example, and especially the way that Alex explained it there, that idea that a reminder to people of what hasn't been taken from them and the power that the Métis still have. I wonder, you're not Métis yourself, David. But as you were researching the book, what was another example of something that surprised you along the way, that may, a moment like that people may not recognize the power of? It's not the same as you know, something being signed in the Constitution and everything, all the attention being paid for it, but it's sort of a surprise moment.
The surprise moment all through researching the book and working with my co-author, Patricia Russell, who is of Métis descent, a brilliant writer, and she's kind of been writing the book for 20 years, is learning the history that we've all been so wonderfully successful at ignoring. The Métis history in Canada. I grew up in Winnipeg in Fort Garry, and I didn't even know that down the road was Fort Garry, that in 1869 that a well-known Métis leader, Louis Riel, occupied, and then he became the founder of the province of Manitoba. So many landmarks in Winnipeg, where I grew up, are actually named after Métis historical figures that we don't know about because in high school we're too busy learning about the kings and queens of England. And so the whole experience of this was phenomenal to learn that history and the missed opportunity. The fact that the Métis became dispossessed, became known as the forgotten people, lost their land rights, when they could have been there and worked in concert with, you know, so-called colonialists to make a stronger Canada together, rather than having been dispossessed and having to spend these 200 years or 100 years will rise again, as Louis Riel said, working their way back to the recognition that they're achieving now.
Well, speaking of concerts, Lee Kerr performed in 5 languages. I think you could definitely call it a story of operatic proportions, trying to put something like this together. Tell me about that experience, coming together with that wide range of artists for your opera to be performed.
So as a co-composer of that, we did 3 sold-out shows at the Centennial Concert Hall in Winnipeg. And to see a Métis production on the opera main stage, you know, you think of the opera world, which I learned so much about. That was my first opera. Like, I'm a dance fiddle player. I'm a concert fiddle player. But to be in an opera like that and in that world, in that classical music world, for our people to be on that stage, what a move forward for reconciliation. Like, it was powerful. And, you know, one phrase that kind of stuck out, there's a festival back in Manitoba. It's called Festival de Voyageurs. And that's very fiddle-based, very French-Canadian-based, very, you know, Métis-based. And it was Festival de Voyageurs with a side of opera. It was amazing.
I'm very excited because Alex brought his fiddle with him today, and I'm pretty excited to get him to play something for you. You got the board set up as well with you. Are you okay to play something? I'm throwing this at you. All right.
Yes.
So Alex Osterhoek is here in studio with us now about to perform. He's just getting set up. And just a reminder that he did help compose and perform Métis-produced opera Lee Kerr, and is going to be attending tonight's Métis National Council Gala, which celebrates the council's 40th anniversary. What do you want to play?
I'm going to play the Red River Jig. It's the unofficial Métis anthem. It's been around for years and years and years, and this is kind of the tune of the Métis people, the Red River Jig.
Alex Kosterok on fiddle. And in case anybody at home thought, man, I wish Alan would stop tapping his feet during that entire thing, that was Alex, indeed, on the board as well, performing with his fine footwork as well. So, Alex, is there the idea that Lee Kerr could go elsewhere? Like, could we see you back at the National Arts Center with Lee Kerr?
The Opera Commission of, if you're listening, give me a call.
They're looking all the time, so
yes,
you know.
And that's what I'll say.
There's a whole Indigenous theater thing happening.
We are always looking for somebody. Yes,
David. In terms of with True Canadians, this of course is being launched now. But what is the hope for what happens with that book now?
Well, ideally, we'd like it to get into the schools all across the country. I did an Indigenous guide some years ago with Historica Canada, which produces the Canadian Encyclopedia, and they put that Indigenous guide in 70,000 schools across the country. So that's starting to happen in Alberta. The book is based largely in Alberta. It was the brainchild of former President Audrey Patra of the Métis Nation of Alberta. But it has, as you know, as you can see from the book, it has a nationwide significance. And so putting it in the libraries, getting it in the schools, getting young people, not necessarily only people of Métis descent, but all young students learning about this history and you know, and then that leads to them learning more about, you know, wanting to learn more about First Nations and Inuit as well, and gaining an appreciation for that history that is truly, you know, as we say in the book, truly Canadian.
Alex, have you had a chance to read the book yet?
Yes.
So I'm just curious, were there things along the way that you hadn't realized as well when you were going through there, or stories that left out of you where you were like, what?
You know what? I love the history. The Métis people are such strong people, and that book, it teaches us that, you know? The cool thing about that book and page 106 is it
109?
109.
I can find out who's on page 106 for you, though.
We were talking about that before coming in here, and when we went to the Vatican, the one selfish piece of that is my son was 5 weeks old when we went, and he just showed me a picture that he had signed for my son, and he was holding that book and open to that page. So that's that was kind of a selfish reason for going, but to just, you know, he signed the book to my son, and that's my favorite part about this book, is just to show my son who he is and to have his dad in that book.
Well, a reminder of what the history is, and hopefully the next generation may not have. Of course, Lee Kerr will be a household name by that point, and all Canadians will know about it. So there you go. Both of you, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks
for being part of this.
Thanks.
Today. As Kostorok helped compose and perform the Métis-produced opera Lee Kerr, and David Wolinko is co-author of The True Canadians, Forgotten Nevermore. Both are going to be attending tonight's Métis National Council Gala, which celebrates the Council's 40th anniversary. Now, I have a copy of the book, The True Canadians, to give away. Email us all in a day at cbc.ca with True Canadians in the subject line. Draw a name from a hat to let you know how to pick up your prize if you are the lucky winner. All in a day at cbc.ca. Just put True Canadians in the subject line.